want to read the last two verses of chapter 12 for a text this morning. In prayer, I felt like the Lord dealt with me to preach from these scriptures, and I do hope the Lord will help us and anoint us to preach to you this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 13 and 14. Very familiar verses of scripture. Of course, these are the words of Solomon, the wise man. The Bible said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil," or whether it be evil. 13, it said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." I'd like to preach this morning, if the Lord will help me, on a thought: the wise man's last words. Another thought that come to me was a dying king's last testimony. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us hear the end of the matter. Let us hear what is more important than anything. And it has been said that the last words a man utters before he leaves this world probably would be the most important words he ever says. And I would say that would probably be true. Amen. That would probably be true this morning. We all are familiar with who Solomon is. Solomon is the son of David. David was the second king of Israel. And the Bible says concerning David that he was indeed a man after God's own heart. He was a man that even after he failed God and he got his heart fixed, that God said concerning him, he's after my own heart. And God even said concerning him in one place, and it might have been to Solomon, he said it, that if Solomon would walk before God as David his father did with integrity of heart. One place it said he had a perfect heart. And so we know who David is. And Solomon is the son of that great king of Israel. And you remember that David desired to build a temple to the Lord. And God told him that he could not because he was a man of war. And because of that, he couldn't build this temple. But he did gather material. He did make preparation for the building of the temple. And God told David that Solomon, his son, that he was going to have an heir that he would permit to build the temple of God. That man was Solomon by name. And when David passes, when he leaves this world, Solomon takes the throne. And I want to read in the book of 1 Kings chapter 3. And you're familiar with these scriptures. It says that while Solomon was in Gibeon, that the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, he's king at this time. God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast shewed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child, and I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Now notice, God asked him, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to give you, Solomon? And the Bible said that his request was this: give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Bible said that this speech pleased the Lord. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee in all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And the Bible said that Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Oh, what a noble spirit that he had, that when God asked him, what would you like? He could have very easily said, I want to be the greatest king that Israel has ever had. But we would have to agree that there was a humility that must have dwelled in the heart of this young king. He could have asked for the life of his enemies. God give us victory over all of those that would come against us. And I would say that would probably be, you know, a reasonable request. He could have asked for riches and abundance of things, but he did not ask for any of these. But Brother Sergeant, he said, I'm but a child. One place, he said, I don't even know how to go out, and I don't even know how to come in. And I need understanding. I need an understanding heart. And oh, I tell you, I can relate in a very small scale compared to Solomon, as God dealt with us to come this way and to pastor this church as you ask us to come. I told the Lord, I said, I don't know how to do that. I can't. I'm not able within myself. Lord, give me an understanding heart. Help me to know how to go out. Help me know how to come in. Help me know how to walk. And that's what Solomon was saying. He was saying, I need your help, God. I can't do this by myself. And I need an understanding heart. And God give this man great wisdom and understanding that he might lead, which I believe is the greatest people that ever has been. God's chosen, God's peculiar treasure, God's people that he called and delivered and brought out of Egyptian bondage. He give this young king a heart to know how to lead these people. It would seem that he done good for a little while. It would seem that he done what he should have done. And even right after this, you remember that there comes a problem. And the problem is there's two ladies that are living in the same house and must have had a questionable occupation for it to be that way. And both of these ladies were expecting children. You remember the story. And the Bible said that one of these ladies was delivered of child. And 3 days later, the other lady was delivered of her child. And in the night, the lady rolled over on her baby and the baby died. And so she took the dead baby and she placed it in the arms of that mother that had the living baby. And then she took the living baby for herself. And so this woman comes that realizes what the lady did. And she tells Solomon what happens. And she's needing an answer. She's needing help. Now, what would you do in a case like that? How would you respond? What would your answer be? I'll be honest with you. I'd probably scratch my head and say, I really don't know what you ought to do. I don't know what you ought to do. I'm clueless. I can't give you any advice on this situation. That's just probably where I'd be. But that wasn't where Solomon was. But Solomon, as God inspires him, as God moves on him, I believe the Spirit of God does this. Solomon said, all right, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take the baby that's alive and we'll cut him in half. And we'll give you one half. And we'll give the other lady the other half. And the lady that was guilty of this terrible thing said, well, that's fine if that's what you want to do. I'm okay with that. But that mother said, no, don't kill the baby. I'd rather the baby live and she have her than you put the baby to death. And Solomon knew that's the mother. That mother that wasn't willing to sacrifice the life of that child. And so his fame began to spread abroad and people begin to understand we don't have a novice here. We don't have somebody that's clueless, but this man has the wisdom of God. But then we read, and I got several places I want to read here today, and you pray for me that I won't preach too long, but I feel a real burden on my heart to preach to you. Now, Solomon, God said you're going to be the greatest in wisdom that this nation has ever known. And you're going to have riches beyond measure. And your fame's going to be spread abroad. And we read about some details in his life, some things here. And I want to read to you in 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse number 18. It says, moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best gold. The throne had six steps, and the top of the throne was round behind, and there was stays on either side in the place of the seat, and two lions stood beside the stays. And 12 lions stood there on the one side and on the other side, and six steps. There was not light made by any kingdom. Now this throne is symbolic of a high position. This throne speaks of a man that has all authority. What did the Bible say concerning the king? It said where the word of a king is, there's what? There's power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? That king has authority that when he speaks, things will happen. When he says go, servants move. When he says come, people begin to take action. Because when the king speaks, it's words of power. And this throne is a symbolic of a high position. Now when Solomon is fixing to leave this world, when Solomon, Brother Rodney, is fiction to pass from this life. I believe that Solomon is an old man. I read to you in our text where he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let's hear what's the most important thing. And before he closes the book, before he leaves this life, Brother Mark, what he says is more important is not, try your best to strive for high positions in life. Are you understanding me this morning? Try your best to be all that you can be and climb the social ladder and reach high positions. Oh yes, he was a man of high position. He was a king of the greatest people in all the world. But he didn't say, hey, before he left this world, he didn't say to them, oh, the most important thing is a high position in life. The most important thing is being elevated above men and women, being somebody that is looked up to. Oh no, that is not what he said. That, because you know why? Position in this life is not the most important thing. Having a position of elevation, a position that men look up to you and women look up to you, is not something that really matters in this life. He had position. He had authority. He had power. Oh, I hope the Lord will help me preach this morning. This throne was symbolic of his authority. But he didn't say that's what you ought to strive for. If he would have been an old man and he was giving a college, is it called commencement? He wouldn't have said, try to be the best at everything you do. Try to outdo everybody else. Then the Bible goes on to say that, and all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. He had the best. All his vessels, it wouldn't have been wrong to have silver vessels. I tell you, anybody got real silver stuff? I mean, that you drink out of? I don't. You might, but I don't. Ain't nothing wrong with having silver, but the Bible said he had gold and none of it was silver. He didn't have anything secondary. He had the best of the best. I believe that's what it's saying. It goes on to say, for the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came that navy of Tarshish bringing gold and silver, ivory, and apes and peacocks. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. Oh, it's giving us just a small list of what he had. And then over in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse number 4, Solomon himself is speaking and he's giving words, and he's just giving a little list of some of the things that he possessed in this life. He said, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens. Anybody here got a maid that cleans your house? And I'm not talking about your wife. Amen. Because she ain't a maid. Amen. But he said, I got me servants and maidens. I had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me all silver and gold and peculiar treasure of kings of the provinces. I get me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men, as was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. What was he saying? Whatever I wanted, I had it. He said in verse number 10, whatsoever mine eyes desired, he said, I kept not from them. If I wanted a new chariot, I went and got one. No, I didn't. I made somebody else go get me one. If I wanted a new horse or horses or more cattle, if I wanted another house down by the river or another place down by the brook, whatever I wanted, I kept not my heart from it. He said, I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. I'm seeing and reading what this wise man is saying just before he leaves this world, and he doesn't say, hey, young folks, get all you can get, acquire all you can acquire, have the best clothes and the best houses and the best possessions that you could have. And we live in a world, they push being high and elevated, and they push getting more and more and more. It's sad to say, but that same spirit is coming to our holiness churches. Amen. He said, I had everything I wanted. Everything I wanted. He said, but you know what? When I looked on the works that all my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, he said, behold, all was vanity. He said, I reached a place in my life. You listen to me, young folks. You listen to me, everybody. Oh, there's going to come a time you're going to reach a place in your life when you're going to realize what's the most important stuff. When I was younger, I wanted a fast car. I wanted nice clothes. And ain't nothing wrong with wanting things. It, you know, as long as it don't exceed our desire for God. That's right. Ain't nothing wrong with wanting anything. But let me tell you something this morning. Oh, there's going to come a time you're going to realize that fast car ain't as important. I like that truck you got, Levi. Man, that's a bad truck. That's right. I mean, if you ever decide to get you another one and you want to give that one away, I'll take it. Is that all right? Boy, I like that truck. Boy, I like the smell of that diesel. Oh, I don't like it when he smokes me out, but I like the smell of that diesel. Oh, it's a nice truck. But I'm going to tell you, one day you're going to realize, Levi, oh, life ain't about a big truck that blows out black smoke and chrome pipes. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not preaching against chrome wheels, okay? I'm not preaching against anything like that. If I could and still be able to do what I can do for my family, I just might have one like that. I probably won't ever, but you know what I'm saying. But what I'm trying to say is, there's going to come a day you're going to realize life, there's more important things in life than that kind of stuff. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that stuff. But oh, listen, oh, there's something more important. The longer I live for God, the more I realize what I thought was important and what priorities I had before other priorities, they've moved down a notch, and there's some other things that's moved above those things because I'm nearing the end. I'm getting closer every day. Oh yes, to that appointment that every one of us have. And Brother Gerald, I'm realizing, like Solomon did, hey, some things that just ain't as important as I thought it was. He didn't say before he was leaving this world, get all you can get. Have all you can have. Fill your clothes, your closets with many pairs of shoes, ladies, and many different outfits for every different service of the year. Amen. And you know what I'm talking about. He didn't say he didn't say acquire those things. Seek after. He said, you know what? I got to look at it and I realized it's vanity. Worthless. You know what vain means? It's worthless. It's no good. Vanity of vanity. All is vanity. He said it was vexation of spirit. In other words, what I thought I wanted so much, I realized I really don't like that anyway. That ain't important. And it became a vexation unto him. I mean, the things that he loved, it got to the place where he hated them. It vexed his soul. It vexed his soul. In fact, the vexation started when it caused him to lose sight of God. That's where the vexation started. And when he was fixing to leave this world, he realized, I let my position and I let my possessions and all the things that I enjoyed in this life cause me to not have a relationship with God that I should have had. Those things that I loved, they come between me and my God, and they were worthless things.
they wasn't even worth it. They wasn't even worth having. I believe what he was saying was, I would rather be a poor man with none of these things and have the favor of God than leave this world with everything that a man could desire.
Amen. And not have a relationship with God. I read about people on the Titanic when it was going down that was willing to sell their life savings, give their life savings away, just to be able to get on a lifeboat and live. Because there's going to come a time, I hope I'm making sense this morning, there's going to come a time when you realize there's some things that just really ain't important after all. He had position, a high, elevated position. He had great and abundant possessions. And not only that, but he indulged in pleasures. And I want to be discreet, but the Bible tells us that he loved many strange women. He had, I don't care what you say, he had to be crazy. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Man, what was he thinking? Praise God. Oh, but I tell you, that's where he was at. He was seeking after pleasure. I can't remember where it was, but I was reading in one place that he loved God and he followed God up until the time he married the daughter of Pharaoh. And he thought, man, I've got anybody I want and everything I want. But listen, he didn't say before he was fixing to leave this world. Brother man, he didn't say, enjoy life. Oh, live it up. Be what you want to be. Do what you want to do. As the old slogan is that they say some years ago was, if it feels good, do it. You know, they used to have a slogan like that. That's what people live by. If it feels good, do it. Don't matter what the consequences. Don't matter what it may bring. Don't matter who it hurts. Don't matter who it damages or who it wounds. If it feels good, do it. Oh, I read over in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse number 8. And this is Solomon speaking. And he's almost being sarcastic, but he's trying to get a point across. He said, if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. And he said, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the ways of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. In other words, if you want to do it, go ahead. If you want to have it, go ahead. If you want to go there, go ahead. He said, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. What's he saying? You can live the way you want to. You can go where you want to. If you don't want to listen to this fat, bald-headed preacher, you don't have to.
You can close your ears and you can refuse to hear what I'm saying.
Or any other preacher. Or mama or daddy. Or anybody that God places in your life to help you avoid a lot of trouble. You can do what you want to. And that's what he was saying. Walk in the ways of thine heart and the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will. That's a definite. God will bring thee into judgment. Oh, you hear me? He said in verse number 10, therefore, remove sorrow from thine heart. Oh, listen, he was saying this. He wasn't wondering what it would have been like if he would have. He knew what it was to be elevated in position. He wasn't saying something and wondering what it would feel like to have everything you ever wanted. But he knew what it was to have everything you wanted. You understand what I'm saying? He was speaking from a man that knew what he was talking about. He said, therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and remove evil, put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth is vanity. And then he said in Ecclesiastes 12,
12 and 1. Remember now. Oh, I wish somebody would hear me. I want everybody to hear me, but I want some young folks to listen to your preacher here this morning. He says, remember now, not tomorrow, not next week, not I'm going to do what I want to for a little while, and then when I'm ready to settle down, then I'll settle down and I'll do things right and I'll be a better person. That ain't what he's saying. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them.
He's saying there's going to come a time you're not going to have pleasure in things. You're not going to have pleasure in relationships outside of our relationship with God. You're not going to have pleasure with elevated positions. You're going to look at it and you're going to say, why in the world did I pursue that stuff? It's vanity. It's vain. Are you hearing me this morning, church?
Yes.
Remember now. My prayer is, Brother Jeff, that some young person would remember God today and realize that the world is not what it's cracked up to be. The pleasures of sin are not what they are made to look like. The devil wants you to see the bright side of sin. Oh, and there is pleasure in sin for a season, but the dark side far outweighs the bright side. You understand me? I said the dark side far outweighs the bright side of sin. Oh, yes, sir. That's what he was saying. There's going to come a day you're going to realize that stuff ain't worth anything. He said, well, the sun or the light or the moon, the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after rain. In other words, when you begin to get old and your eyes begin to fail you, and you may not realize it, young person, but you're headed to the grave and you're not always going to be able to see as good as you see. You ask some of these gray heads around here and some of the like around here. He said, there's going to come a day when your eyes are going to fail you. In the days when the keepers of the house, those strong hands that you used to could go over there and grab that piece of farm machinery, pick it up. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Boy, when you're young, you're foolish. I mean, you think you could tackle the world. You think I can handle anything. He said, but there's going to come a day, them strong hands, going to tremble, and you're not going to have the strength that you had when you was a young man. Oh, do you understand? Don't waste your eyes on the pleasures and the lust of the eyes. Don't waste your hands on unclean and ungodly things while you got strength in your hands and while you got vision in your eyes. Use them for the glory. I mean, that's what he was saying, Brother Tim. Use these things that God blesses us with for his glory and his honor. Don't use them to enjoy sin and the world, because one day they are going to fail you. You're going to reach over and try to pick something up and you ain't going to be able to, because the keepers of the house are trembling. He said, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease when your teeth goes to falling out. Amen. I believe that was Solomon. He said, I used to could see better than what I see, but my eyes are failing me. I used to be a strong man, but now I'm a tremble. I used to have a mouth full of white, shiny teeth, but they're falling out. The grinders are seeing. He's talking about getting old. And I tell you, there's the only thing worse than growing old with regrets is being lost. That's the only thing worse. But the next thing to it is growing old with living with the regrets of, I didn't use these for God. I didn't use these for God. I didn't use my
voice for God. Oh, I didn't use what God blessed me with for His glory to promote His righteousness. He said, and the door shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the ground. I mean, you can't hear as good as you used to hear. And it goes on to say, and not only that, but even the slightest thing wakes, you know, older folks can't sleep as solid as they used. It don't take as much to wake them up. You older folks can tell us about that, can't you? Brother Joe, these things maybe that used to wouldn't wake you up, that now they stir you up and wake you up, whereas before they didn't. Oh, do you understand what I'm saying here this morning? He said, also when they shall be afraid of that which is high. Oh, that feebleness. And where they used to have, I've known men that built houses, construction, and they would walk the wall with nothing to hold on to. I won't even do that. I didn't even do that when I was a skinny man. I was hanging on to something, or I was riding it like a horse. But I've seen them walk the wall without even looking down 30 foot to the ground. But there'll come a time they'll not be that steady, and they'll be afraid of that which is high. Oh, I'm telling you, young folks, you're headed to the grave. I said you are headed to the grave. And what did the Bible say about this life? Your life is even a vapor. It appeared for a moment, and then it vanishes away. If you're young today, you will be old sooner than you think. And what a terrible thing to live with the regret of wasting your youth on striving for positions. I believe that's what Solomon was saying, and I'm fixing to quit. I believe Solomon was saying, don't waste your youth on trying to achieve that. Positions and elevated places where people look up to you. Don't waste your youth. Do not waste. I hope the Holy Ghost is helping me, and I hope it's helping some young folks to hear what this preacher's trying to say this morning. Are y'all praying for me, church? Don't waste your youth on trying to get more and trying to get more stuff and things. Don't waste your youth on pleasure and sin and ungodliness. He said, oh, there's going to come a time you can't see as good as you used to. You can't hear as good as you used to. You're not as strong as you used to. You're not as steady as you used to be. Your hair is going to turn gray. Your hair is going to fall out. You're going to lose that. That one man said that Coca-Cola bottle figure. Y'all remember the shape of the old Coca-Cola bottle? You're going to lose that figure, young ladies. And you might start looking like a milk jug. That's funny, but that's just, you know, so I'm not even old and I'm there. Amen. But that's not important. That's not important. Position, possessions, pleasure, it's not important. He said, let us hear the conclusion. Brother Bobby said, I want to tell you what's more important than anything else. Can I use my imagination? Maybe there was young men that come and said, Saul, how'd you do it? Oh, how was it to be the king of the greatest people in the world? To be elevated in position. To be able to say, hey, you go get that right there. Boy, I had to feel good then, Saul. And they could see a puzzled look on that old man's face. Solomon, how did it feel to have the best stuff? The biggest houses, the fastest horses, the finest chariots. How did it feel to have orchards and trees and land and servants and maidens and somebody to cook you breakfast in the morning, somebody to make you supper at night, or somebody when you said, hey, I want some milk and cookies, and they brought it to you in the midnight hour. How did it feel? Wasn't that wonderful, Solomon? I could see him look at that young man, Brother Tim, and say, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Why must we fear God, and why must we keep His commandments? For God shall bring every work in the judgment with every secret. Those things, my boys and girls, that you're doing that mommy and daddy don't even know you're doing, God's got a record. You may think you escaped it, but
God sees it. He's got a record. And he said, and God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Whether it be good or whether it be evil. Amen. What's the most important thing in life? And I don't feel like I've done this message justice. But I know what the Lord wanted me to tell you this morning. What's the conclusion? What's the most important? What is something we want to remember and we want our young folks to remember? Fear God. I believe Solomon said, if I had to do it all over again, it would be different next time. How many here said that before? I'm going to raise my hand this morning. Made some decisions I've made since I've been saved. I wish I wouldn't have. And if I could undo it, I would, but I can't. It was Solomon that also said that your life is like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered again. You got one chance at this right here. You got one chance at it. Young folks, young men, you got one chance to get this right. Young ladies, you got one chance to get this right. Because God will bring every work. What did Paul say? He said, as is appointed unto man, once to die. And after this, just. Sister Leanne, will you get us a song? I wonder this morning, as the saints of God are standing, is there somebody here that would say, Brother Jamie, I don't want to waste away my youth. I don't want, and I've said it before, but I don't want my life to be like water spilled on the ground. I don't want my life to be one big accident. I want my life to have meaning and purpose. I don't want to be spilt. But I want to willingly pour myself out for the glory of God. I want to be what God wants me. Is there any young folks here this morning that would raise your hand and say, Brother Jamie, I want to be what God wants me to be? Thank God for these hands. Any more young people that would say, Brother Jamie, I realize position ain't important, possessions ain't important, the pleasures of sin don't matter, but being what God wants me to be and serving God, thank God for these hands. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I wonder who would like to pray this morning. Who would like to gather in these altars? Everybody that can, especially the young folks. Let's gather in these altars and let's seek the Lord. If there's somebody out here today, you made some bad decisions. You made some bad choices. And you don't want your life to be a big oops and a big mess, but you want to be what God wants you to be. Yes, you've made some bad decisions and choices in your life. You can't change what you've done. But you can, while you got time, you can redeem the time. And you can change. And you can be different from today into the future. What about it? Oh, God help us.
Say.
Make up their mind that they're going to remember you in the days of their youth.
in the blood.